Welcome to The Connection,
a podcast to connect you to the parish of Yates and Froomside Benefice.
My name is Howell.
And I'm Justin.
We are your hosts, sharing with you the connection between faith and everyday living.
So welcome back to our next episode of The Connection.
So today we're talking about water from the second part of our Lent course.
Are you thirsty?
A little bit.
Are you a tap kind of guy, or do you like bottled water?
I like bottled water, I am good because...
Are you a bit snobby if you've got to pick which spring it comes from?
No. I have it from the filter thing.
I see. So you fill it in from at home?
Yeah.
Nice, good. I mean, the amount of bottled water that you can see on the shelves, I just think, it's all come from the same place.
You feel like that Only Fools and Horses thing. Yeah. Was it Peckham Spring, wasn't it?
Yeah. I know. I was just looking at this. There's a bottle here from Lidl. It doesn't really securely say which spring it comes from. It just says it's been bottled from one of the many selected springs they've got available called the tap.
That's vegan enough, isn't it, really? Yeah, it's vegan.
So water. Why is that important?
Well, it's the second... the second verse of the Song of Genesis, really, yep. Where it's God separates the seas,
yes,
and makes dry land appear and all of that. So it's the second part of the Song of Creation. So we're linking in with that, this idea that water is a gift from God, a bit like last time we were talking about energy is a gift from God.
Yep.
So water is a gift from God. How can we responsibly use that gift that God has given us?
And if we see Earth as our biggest gift, let's be absolutely honest, if you look at Earth, you see more water than you do see land.
Yeah.
And that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how we use it is so important, isn't it? And water has always been probably the fundamental component of how to look after the world. What do we do with our water? How do we use our water wisely? You know, it was always something that even as a child, it was part of how do you look after this world or do correct with the water. And of course, you know, it is the cornerstone of existence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even as humans, we're full of water.
Exactly. And I think what it's talking about there is how do we responsibly use this resource, and it comes up with some good actions really from the first discussion about that. So it's things like installing rainwater butts. Some people have done that,
yeah,
where you can water the garden from the rainwater rather than using it from the tap.
Yeah,
that might be an option for people. Well,
let's be honest, we live in the United Kingdom. Rain is plentiful.
Well, I used to work for Welsh Water when I was a student.
Okay.
I used to work in the lab there that was testing all the water and sewage, because that's the thing, they never put that in. It's the water and sewage company. So I used to deal. We were the non-potable, which was not good.
Okay.
Very smelly water.
Oh no!
But it gave you a bit of an appreciation, really, of, you know, how precious a resource it is, because how much work goes into making sure it's clean.
Okay. Yep.
So there was this huge lab down in Bridgend where all of it was tested for heavy metals. It was tested for organic chemicals. It was tested for microbes.
Yep.
That sort of thing. So everything was tested. And everything was really clean, and it is the ultimate thing in a place like the UK where we take it for granted and we wish there wasn't quite as much of it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Yes. In a current climate, there's a lot of flooding and storm at the minute, and so water becomes an issue. So, but you can see how people don't see it as such as they reference it in the book, a kind of a sacred gift.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, we don't see it as a sacred gift. It's a sacred gift that we should go away.
Yes.
But I think that's the thing, though. It's something that actually literally gives us life.
Yeah.
And that's why we use it in things like baptism and things. But it is this thing whereby, going back to talking last week about the dairy industry and things like that. Like in this country, for example, we knew when this happened because it's stank in Shropshire.
Okay.
There's certain times of the year where they're allowed to empty out their slurries, right?
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah.
Because it stinks.
Yes.
For about
yes.
a week.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, okay. So that's all very tightly regulated. While in the US, they don't have as tight regulations. So because they're dumping all this sewage into the Mississippi.
Okay, yeah.
There's huge dead zones where all the fish have died out.
Yes.
All these other things have happened.
Because of the misbalance, yep. yep.
Because it's all got out of kilter.
Yes.
So what we can do to reduce the amount of water that we use, in a sense, is things like the water bilge.
Yeah.
But also as well, thinking about what we're putting back into the drain.
Yes.
You know, it's things like, you know, what we use to clean the house, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
One of the top tips on you is don't clean your cars often. Well, that's no problem for me, but that's because I don't mind having a mucky car.
But you can't drive around Yates without missing the fact that every single shopping centre's car park is overtaken by a small business that's trying to clean a car for you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I think it's to do with the cleaning products as well, is there's other options out there. You know, there's options of using Ecova and other things. Astonish is another one
yep.
that you can get. Again, though, like the fair trade stuff, like the green electricity, they are slightly more expensive.
Yeah.
But it's one of those sorts of little switches that you can make. So you could say, well, all right, I can't afford to swap everything for the greener things.
Yep.
But we could say, okay, well, maybe I'll just swap one.
Yeah. I mean, and it says beautifully in this book that the demand for water around the world is expected to rise by 50% of our current demand by 2050. And I think as Christians, we need to conserve water because it gives that ultimate acknowledgement that water is sacred. It is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And there's so much that we could just tweak along the way to appreciate how important that is. I mean, even as far as maybe even the clothes I'm wearing. Think about that.
Yeah, that's the other weird thing. I was very depressed because I was really chuffed because of our immense store of reusable bags that we have in our house. I think you're like, it's just like, because when they put the 5p on the bags, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Right, that was a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, because it helps charities with that raising and, of course, it makes people think about their bags.
Exactly. But what we've ended up doing is buying loads and loads of the Hessian bags.
Yes. There's a Peter Kay sketch in that, I think, about underneath the sink becomes this just constant void of bags. and the ones with the good handles, you know.
That's it, yeah, they're the ones. Yeah, they're the ones. But the thing is basically, there's a lot of water that goes into making those. That's why I was depressed. Mm. I thought, I was doing really well by not using these plastic bags. But then there's a lot of water that goes into our clothes, into cotton.
Yeah.
If we think about it, one of the most disturbing things that's ever happened to our environment is the Aral Sea, which is in Russia, or it's in Kazakhstan, though it was the USSR.
And the borders keep changing in that part of the world.
Well, but it was in the USSR, and when it was in the USSR, the government decided to do lots and lots of cotton plantations in that area, so they needed a lot of irrigation for this cotton crop. So what they did, they diverted the rivers that fed the Aral Sea into these cotton plantations, right? And basically what's happened over the next 30 years, you can put it into Google and just see the satellite photos of the Aral Sea basically has disappeared.
Okay, yeah.
So it was like the, I don't know, fourth or fifth largest lake in the world or something. It's a huge thing. And it's just gone by... And that, if we want an illustration of how misuse of water in cloth production, that's the consequence.
Speaks really. Volumes, doesn't it? Speaks volumes, and I guess it's the demand from the consumer that influences that thinking.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's this thing where, you know, every season we have to buy new clothes.
Yeah.
We have to have new stuff. We have to have new T-shirts, new jeans. I like that. And it's that, it's called fast fashion. I'm not into fashion, right? I only ever wear black. And so, you know, but it is this idea though of constantly having to buy a new thing. So if you go to a couple of shops, you can buy you know, a pair of jeans for next to nothing, and you can buy a top for next to nothing and then just chuck it away, can't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, a very disposable culture, isn't it? You know, and the things like Primark and places like that, that doesn't cost much, but the items become incredibly disposable.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, when you were a kid, you used to get the hand-me-downs.
Yeah, I did, yeah. No, I not so much, but because I was the eldest grandson. But my brother certainly did, and furthermore. But there were times where I was... hand-me-downs, yeah, absolutely.
You used to have the mate or something, your mum's mate, who had an older kid.
Yes.
And then they'd come around with this big bin bag full of clothes.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, oh, she's just for you. And you're thinking, oh, there'll be something decent in that bag now,
Exactly.
But that's the thing is, if we can,
yeah,
little changes to say, well, you know, learning to sew a bit. You know, if there's a hole in something,
learn how to do it. A bit of repair work.
You can do that. I can sew a bit.
Good.
Yeah, I can do that. But I think it's these little changes. But as you said earlier, it's all driven by this consumerism, isn't it? That's at the heart of it.
And I think fashion has shown that time and time again, isn't it? I mean, but let's look at the average pair of fashionable jeans that are now the must-have that the kids are wearing. They're the same clothes that were generated around the 1980s, early 90s, where there were gaping holes in them. They seem to have reappeared, if not worse. Do you know what? They've come back.
That's right.
You know, and so... but people are influenced like that, and so people will go out to a shop and spend a lot of money on a pair of jeans that there's hardly any material because it's got full of holes.
And then as you get older, you're right, actually, you get older and you say, my sister bought them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, and
but you're driven by the need to keep up with the culture of society, aren't you? And we know that, and I mean, I put my hands up, I've done that, you know,
we
all do. But it's a trap that this is a talk about water. It has the biggest impact on our water because, of course, the water is used to generate the products that we use.
Yeah, and that's... and really, if we think about it, I was watching a programme, I love South Park, right? That's a bit of a mission. I got out of it for a long time, but I got into it a few years ago.
Is it still on, as in it's still produced? It's like Simpsons, it just carries on and on and on.
I stopped watching it years and years ago.
Yeah, I thought it finished.
I did, and it was on Netflix or something, and I thought, oh, is it back, is it? And I was watching it.
Yeah.
And there was an episode that, ironically, was on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Right? And it's an episode about where an Amazon fulfillment centre comes to South Park.
Okay.
And basically there's an accident in the fulfillment centre and all the workers go on strike, right? But then the people in the town get really mad because they're not being fulfilled.
Okay.
So, and they say that. They say, we're not being fulfilled because they can't get their stuff.
Okay. And as Prime members, I think we've all been there, haven't we, where we're very used to clicking in the morning and maybe even it having at the door by the evening, or at least the next day. And I know when I first came into Prime, I was surprised that I could even have a delivery at some point on a Sunday, because Sundays were never the delivery days. But now, I don't even think, why is it? Yeah, Sunday's great.
I was really annoyed with these books, actually, because when I ordered these books for Lent, and because I didn't order them via Amazon, I ordered them from another company. I had to wait a week and a bit for them.
What?
I'm not fulfilled. Where's my Lent books? Come on. You know, I was like...
And is that the point you think back, that was normal only a few years ago that you used to wait a week for something.
But the thing is this idea, though, of this need to be fulfilled.
Yes.
Right, from the fulfillment centre.
Yeah.
And it was a really fascinating film... episode this, because it linked in my other great love, which is Star Trek.
Okay, yeah.
And my family sort of came in and watched it, saw bits of it as I was watching it. And Jeff Bezos, who is the head of Amazon, stars in it. And they send him up as a character from an episode of Star Trek called The Cage.
Okay, good.
Which is the first one.
Yep, episode one in the original series.
Yeah, with Captain Pike, not Captain Kirk.
No.
And he's this guy with this big, massive head with a big vein on the side like that. Okay. And I jumped out of my seat and went, oh, it's The Cage. Oh, that's really clever. And they went, you are such a nerd. You're such a nerd. But what that's about, really, is they did this really cleverly, is that... in the episode The Cage, these aliens with these massive heads, what they do is they capture Captain Pike and this lady who's with him, and they create a menagerie where they read the person's mind and then create, they read their desires and then through telepathy fulfill their desires.
Okay.
So they create this perfect world for them where all their desires are fulfilled.
Yep.
Right? Through telepathy.
Okay.
But it's actually a cage, and then Captain Pike escapes at the end. And what they had Jeff Bezos doing, he had this thing which was Alexa View, where he was watching everybody to see what their desires were.
Okay.
And then fulfilling the customer's desires through Amazon. And I thought that's exactly what happens is with the algorithms.
Yes.
They, you know, you bought this, you might not like that.
Yeah.
Mostly bought together is the other one, isn't
it? Yeah.
So they do know so much about us.
Definitely. It doesn't take much to look on Amazon or shopping sites that it doesn't take much for social media and for people to, with their algorithms and with their very clever view, to start influencing the way that you see adverts to the point where it becomes enticing.
Yeah, like if you search for car insurance on Google, or I booked my holiday in the UK, the other week, and all I had on my Facebook feed for the next week was holiday cottages.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It's just like, within days, it's just like, oh, you want to buy a holiday cottage?
Yeah,
just
it's like, interesting, isn't it? And that is your mind reading. I mean, it sounds crazy as an episode that people read your mind to influence your fulfilment. Well, it's kind of happening.
That's literally what happens.
There. Which, and they make you believe that you like even just basic advertising, that you're missing out because you're not part of being fulfilled.
Yeah, and I think that's the key word there is they're not fulfilled. It's not the fulfillment center isn't there. And I think we are trained from, even in our generation, I'm 42, and even in our generation, we're trained from being very, very young to seek fulfillment from a new thing that you can have. Like with Amazon, it's a little present to yourself, you know, so you can open it up and all of that. But when we were kids, you know, He-Man, you know, all I ever wanted was a He-Man.
Yeah.
You know, because I watched He-Man on telly. So you're trained in it. And it is like they said on South Park, you know, it is like that episode of Star Trek with the cage, where we're actually trapped in this way of thinking.
Yeah.
Which is the cage that we've been brought up in.
Yeah.
And where these people do read our minds through the internet and then offer us the fulfillment of our desires, really, you know, a new fishing rod.
It's a scary environment, isn't it? So it's about reprogramming our minds, isn't it? To save water isn't just about, of course, installing rain butts and cleaning your car less. It's actually consuming less.
Yeah.
In that hidden kind of way that's in our purchases. And reprogramming our mind to be more thankful of the products that we have got rather than what we want.
Yeah, that's essentially it. I think the heart really of there's another South Park episode from years and years ago, just before I stopped watching it, where Walmart came to town.
Okay.
And the lads were trying to find the heart of the Walmart to destroy it. Right?
Okay. Yeah? Okay.
But the heart of the Walmart was a mirror.
Okay.
The heart of the Walmart is us.
That's scary.
Which I thought, and I was just like, ooh, that's good.
They were ahead of their game.
They were. But I think it's to do with all of this environmental discussions and climate change. Climate change, I think, is a consequence of how we live and how we've constructed our society.
Yeah.
And if we think about Genesis 1, this idea of order and law bringing forth life and chaos bringing death. The law of God is the Sabbath, which is against consumerism. You know, it's about finding balance in our lives and appreciated and being thankful for our lives and the things in our lives.
Yes.
Not seeking after the next thing all the time. So really, I don't think it's actually part of it's a practical issue of changing our behaviour.
Yes.
But most of it is actually about internal work, about where we find our fulfilment. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I can link that beautifully to water, where, you know, I find myself feeling thirsty, and so I'll have a cup of coffee, and then a little later I'll have some coffee, and I'll have some coffee, and I'll have a cup of tea, and I'll have. And, but actually, ironically, if I took a bit of time and actually thought, and this has happened time and time again, where actually if I just have a drink of water, or I have some squash, that gives me the same fulfilment without the side effects. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so water is fulfilling in its purity, rather than looking at other things like coffee.
And Coke in the weirdest way.
Yeah, yeah.
Coke is a useless product because it makes you more thirsty.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly.
But then the other weird thing is in John's Gospel, where... Yeah. Jesus meets the woman at the well.
Yes.
And
okay,
he promises her that he will give her water springing up from the water of life.
Yes.
Where she will never be thirsty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's referenced in one of these things, the water and the spirit. And I think that's the essence of it, really, is that the more we seek fulfillment through Amazon, through the fulfillment centre, we're not going to get the water that springs up for the source of eternal life.
Mm.
We're just going to get a few seconds of, oh, that was good, and really chuffed with that, and then it'll just be chucked out or forgotten about or anything else later on. And maybe this week it might be worth us trying to break that illusion that we have around us of new things bring us happiness, and trying to break those habits. But the way to do that is through being more thankful. So maybe drawing up a list over this week of things that you're thankful for and people that you're thankful for and situations you're thankful for.
Yeah.
And focusing on where we truly find deep fulfillment.
Yes.
Rather than trying to fill a hole with stuff that's not going to do anything.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode.
And don't forget, you can get in contact with us on Facebook and on Twitter.
And we'll also find us on Instagram.
Oh, yes, Instagram, yes. And on our website, which is yateparish.org. Don't forget, this is an interactive show, so we really value your comments. So put your comments on SoundCloud or any other platform that you're listening to, and we'll get back to you.